if you're not doing it, now's a good time to start. He said, if you ain't been praying, well, no time like the now time, like the present time. If you ain't warned anybody, right now is a good time to start. If you ain't taught a Bible study, right now is the best time to start. Amen. And if you ain't got a hold of what's going on in this place, and you ain't got a hold of a spirit of revival, amen, it's not too late to start. Amen. As long as you're living, as long as you're breathing, there's a chance. Amen. Last night, I did not want to stop that service. I knew because of time we had to, but I did not want to. Because as long as there were babies and children of God and new converts in the altar and in a service where it's just right, you don't just slap a cake in the oven. You turn it on and preheat it. You get everything just right. You grease the pan. Honey, what we've been doing the last few days, the pre-service prayer, the worship, the singing, everything is getting it just right for the preaching of the Word. Amen. I want to take advantage of every opportunity. And as long as you're in this building and the man of God's got the microphone, amen, you're fair target and fair game. And I want him to preach to you. Every last one of you. Because as long as you're here, there is that chance that what's being said will get to you. And it'll get implanted in your heart. And if not tonight, maybe tomorrow night. But there is a chance that God can change your life tonight. Amen. I just feel that in the Holy Ghost. I want Brother Mills to come and preach. Amen. I give him complete liberty. Amen. So if he talks to you, amen. If he calls you out, if he gives you a word, he has my backing. Amen. And I feel that in the Holy Ghost. And if he wants to take it in a total different direction, that is his call. He's got the microphone. But right now, I want you to listen to every single word. I want you to lift your hands. Let's ask God to anoint this service right now and anoint the preaching in Jesus' name. God of heaven, I feel your spirit. I feel your direction right now. In the name of Jesus, I feel your anointing. I want you to anoint Brother Mills right now. Anoint his word, God. Anoint this word that goes forth. Anoint the lips of clay. Anoint the man of God tonight. Anoint the word. Anoint our people, their ears, their hearts, their minds, God, that they can see and hear and understand the word. Their hearts, that they might accept it. God, get down on the inside of us. I want revival more than anything. I want a move of God in this church more than anything. God, we got to be saved. And God, we got an obligation and a responsibility to save the lost around us, God. Give us a spirit of revival tonight, but preach to us. Anoint the word, anoint Brother Mills in your precious name. Just give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. And Brother Mills comes to preach to us.
Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands right now? Talk to the Lord right now. God, we need you in this place. The Bible, it talks about that in the last days there would be a falling away. And I also believe that in the last days that there will be great revival. Or I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing tonight. But I do believe that there's a great falling away that is happening right now. But what scares me is what I strongly believe is my revelation. I'm just saying it's mine, of what I believe the great falling away is. And it's not like what we talked about all of our lives. I believe the great falling away is they backslide, but they never leave the pew. They lose the relationship with God. They still come to church, still go through the motions. Still sing, still every now and then lift your hands. But somewhere along the way, they're like a couple that's been married for 30 years. Why get divorced? We'll stay together because of the kids. We'll just be like roommates. But there's no love anymore. Somewhere something died. And it can be the same way with the saint of God if we don't watch it. I believe that's why he said, I'd rather you be hot, whether you be cold, but don't be lukewarm. Brother Mills, just put that into basic language. I'd rather you live for God with all your heart or just backslide than to come and serve me and talk out of both sides of your mouth. See, there are three parables in the Bible that I believe wraps up the entire all of us. There was the parable of the lost sheep, which I believe was the sinner. The Bible says, follows it up by saying, when heaven rejoices, when sinner comes to repentance. Then there was the parable of the prodigal son that left the house. I believe that was the backslide. But then there was a parable about a lost coin that was still in the house. And the Bible said that she lit a candle and she swept the house until she found it. When the man of God walks to this pulpit, the Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And he lights a candle in our lives. And he begins to sweep every corner of this church to make sure you're not lost while you're sitting on the pew. I couldn't imagine going to hell as a sinner or as a backslider. But my goodness, I definitely wouldn't want to go to hell while I was sitting on an apostolic Pentecostal pew. It's like starving to death while sitting at the buffet. It's dying at the threshold. Hallelujah. Brother Mills, where'd that come from? Well, I didn't have no intentions of saying none of that when I walked up here, but I feel it in so strong tonight. God talked to me this morning. I'm not saying he always talks to me like this. I wish he would sometimes. But I had a good feeling today all day when I was going to preach tonight. In fact, it's kind of weird that I kind of know exactly not when I'm going to preach it, but I know the three messages that I'm going to preach tonight, tomorrow night, and the next night. Just don't know when it's going to happen. That God talked to me so strong this morning as I was in the shower and I got out. God began to talk to me about individuals in this place. And I got out and began to relay my burden to my wife. And my wife just shook her head and said, boy, ain't that strange, because I woke up this morning with a burden for one of those individuals. And God told me some of the same things. Hallelujah. You're not here by accident. The stars didn't just line up with me being here and you being here and it just happened to happen. But it was ordained by God for this to happen. Hallelujah. I said it was ordained by God. 99% of the time, whenever I'm scheduled to be somewhere, I never make it there exactly at the original schedule. I mean, you ask my wife, because my revivals always start off planning with usually 2 to 3 weeks, and they average being 4 to 5 weeks. And so it just continues to push my schedule, and it changes that. But this date hadn't changed. God knew what he was doing. I said, God knew exactly what he was doing. And I've got a revival in Louisiana. I'm supposed to start this Sunday that I'll probably be there a minimum of 4, a maximum probably of 12 weeks. But I'm saying the most important thing on my mind right now is what God's going to do in this place tonight. Because I believe somebody is in critical territory tonight. Somebody needs to hear this message. Exodus, the 33rd chapter and the 12th verse. Again, so thankful to have my wife and my son with me in. I know, I apologize. I was going to have her sing again. Not, she's happy, but I know you might have wanted to hear her sing, but I will tomorrow night. Hallelujah. But I feel this, the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. I don't feel like I have to make these type of qualifications in the pulpit here, but I don't spend hours of the day talking to your pastor. I intentionally don't, because of the type of ministry that I do have. That I want you to know whatever I preach, whether it's from the word of the Lord or just whatever comes over this microphone, you know it's straight from God. Me and Brother Johnson, I seen him 2 minutes before church tonight. That's all the talking we done. We ain't even talked on the phone today. And not that he abandoned me, but that's really the way I requested it. I was fasting today. I was praying. And I just felt the burden. The Bible says in Exodus 33 and 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see thou saith unto me, bring up this people. Now, I want to set the stage here, because if not, it's hard to understand this. This is Moses and the Lord having a dialogue where they are talking with one another. Moses starts off by, and he said unto the Lord, Lord, see thou saith unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. And thou hast also found grace in my sight. Moses continued, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. He said, the Lord responded, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Moses responds back to him and said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? The Lord responds, the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, here's Moses again, show me thy glory. And he said, the Lord told him, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. The Lord told him, thou cannot seize my face, for there shall no man see me and live. The Lord told Moses, the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. I want to preach from this subject tonight. You can start all over again. You can start all over again, or if you need a different title, you can hit reset. You can hit the reset button. Lay your Bibles down. Elder Johnson, would you bless the word of the Lord right now? Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Failed to mention, thanks again, Pastor Johnson, for not only this invitation, but I tell you, you can ask my wife, I don't say this everywhere, but there is no church that I know that takes care of their evangelists. It's not just financial, but all around for me to see the way this good church does. And I tell you, you don't have no problem wondering if I want to come back or not. I'm usually putting the pressure on him, trying to get him to schedule me. Hallelujah. But I thank you so much for the gift cards, for the food, for the everything that has been up the room, just so many, much, many things. I hope, brother, you don't preach against sports coats. I hope you don't preach against sports coats. Okay, good. I was looking around. I couldn't find him tonight, but I was, we was only supposed to be having two regular church services, so I got two sports coats with me this time. And my wife was glad because she got to go shopping today. So she was glad the services changed. Hallelujah. But I was thinking tonight, hallelujah, and this message was, we read our text, that it was a difficult time for Moses here. I want to set the stage here for you. It's hard to imagine how the emotional state that Moses is in when he had this remarkable conversation with the Lord. It's difficult to describe what it must have felt like from where he had been to where he was now in such a short period of time. Moses had just come down from the mountain, having spent 40 days in the presence of God. It had been an incredible experience. It was far beyond anything you and I could possibly comprehend. In this 1 month and 10-day period, Moses had communed with God in such a way that God's presence literally engulfed his very being. It was on this mountaintop that Moses received from the hand of God tables of stones that had been hewed out with God's own hand. God's finger, Brother Johnson, had written on them the Ten Commandments. It was here with Moses that in this 40-day encounter with God that he received all the laws from the hands of God himself. It was at this encounter that Moses saw the tabernacle in all of its detail. He not only was told about it, but God evidently constructed it in a vision that Moses received. God laid out all the detail of both the construction of the tabernacle and the observance of the law. And after that, he summed it up by saying, Moses, build it like I showed you on the mountain. It was at this time that Moses entered into an entirely new relationship between mankind and the Almighty. A new dispensation beginning this 40 days where Moses communed with God on the mountain. How can we describe what it must have been like? What he must have felt like? The power of God was so real and present. Moses heard the word and the voice of God with his very literal ear. God communed with this man for 40 days in a way that me and you couldn't even imagine. But then Moses came down from the mountain only to find the children of Israel dancing naked around a golden calf that they had fashioned with their own hands. Moses on the way down was joined by Joshua, who had carried halfway up the mountain. But so great was the sound of their idol worship that Joshua misunderstood it as the sound of war. Moses, though, did not respond to Joshua. Perhaps because he knew what was happening, because God had been speaking to him. Moses became very angry and disappointed, so overwhelmed with emotion that on seeing their idolatry, he took the tables of stones that God had given him and he smashed them against the rocks. He charged to that calf and he began to destroy that golden calf. He melted into a fire, ground the cool metal into powder, sprinkled it into a pool of water, and commanded them to drink it. I could see a man that, you know the personality of a preacher, of a pastor, of an evangelist, especially a pastor, when they go from being the all, the I know he's a little bit more lovey-dovey than your bishop was. But I can tell you, you know when his personality changes, he means business. When he sets that face like a flint, and his nose, the nostrils begin to kind of breathe in and out. You know that he's upset about something. I can see Moses as he said, "Who's on the Lord's side? Let him come to me." Those who joined Moses were commanded to slaughter those who did not. It was brother against brother, tribe against tribe, and 3,000 men perished that day. After this bloody tragedy, Moses sent the people to their tents, and he retreated all by himself to seek the face of God. Here he prayed one of the Bible's most incredible prayers. He said, "God, if you're not going to forgive them, if you're going to block them out of your book, then take my name out too." I can see the Lord as he said, "No, Moses, you don't understand. I'm tired of their murmuring. I'm tired of their grumbling. I'm tired of their complaining and their lack of faith. I'm tired of it, Moses. I'll take you and start a brand new nation." But Moses answered, "No, you can't do that. God, your word is involved in this. And your word is more important than me or anyone else. So God, if you can't forgive them, then lump me with their sin and blot my name out too." See, you don't realize, saint of God, or maybe some of you do, but I really believe that the only thing sometimes that holds back the judgment of God is a man of God that's laying up on his face and saying, "God, I'm asking you and begging you, don't do it, God. Don't do it, God. Let me dig around them one more time. Let me walk around them one more time." This intercessory prayer moved God. It stayed the hand of judgment, spared Israel as a people. And after this prayer, Moses gave the order to construct and to fix the tabernacle for which God had given him the plan. For the very first time, the tabernacle stood in the midst of the camp. It was no doubt a dramatic moment for everyone who witnessed it. They would surely remember it the rest of their lives. It was this tent that would serve as the center of their relationship with God for centuries to come. But the first service had no choir singing. There was no joy. There was no trumpets. There was only a lonely, solitary, broken-hearted man who walked alone through the entire camp. Every head of the household stood at the door of his tent and silently watched as Moses walked by. I could see him as he comes to the entrance of the tabernacle and he pushes aside the badger skin and he steps inside. There Moses worshiped God alone. The pillar of fire and the cloud ascended and hovered over the door of the tabernacle as God entered his sanctuary. It was in this holy place that Moses had the conversation with God that I read to you as my main text. He was crushed. He was deeply wounded. For he had had great visions for what God would do with these people. And those dreams had been shattered. Moses came to the place of worship as a very needy man. He came desperate for something from God. Moses knelt and he prayed for a refreshing of his vision and a renewing of his purpose. And he hungered to experience that call all over again. He starts off in 33 and 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see thou saith unto me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. He said, now therefore, I pray God, if really what you told me is true, that I've really found grace in your sight, if you really know me by name, God, if you call me to lead these people, if you place your hand upon me, if all of this is true, then show me now your way. I can't do it on my own. I can't make it by myself. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I can't see the path anymore. I just need you to show me your way, God. You see, Moses, the man of God, prayed that I may know thee and that I may find grace in thy sight. I want you to remember, church, who is praying this, that I may know you. This is Moses. This is the friend of God. This is the one who heard the voice of God in the burning bush. This is the man who spoke the words that caused plagues to come down on Egypt. Water to turn into blood. Frogs that crawled out of the river. Lice that infested their clothing. Flies that appeared in their homes. Diseases that fell on their cattle. Falls that come upon their bodies. Hell that fell from heaven. Locusts that was devouring their crops. Darkness fell upon the land, and death came to every home. All when not when God, but when Moses spoke the words. This was the man who held a shepherd's staff over a Red Sea. And it opened up, and Israel marched across on dry ground. And when he held that staff over the sea again, it closed up and God's enemies were destroyed. He brought water from the rock with His words. And victory over the enemies when His hands were uplifted. He was the man, Moses was, whose face shined with the glory of God. And to it had to be hidden with a veil. This was the man who made the bitter water sweet. This was the man who prayed and quail came and filled the camp of Israel. This was the man for whom angel food fell in the wilderness. Reached the point where he said, God, I don't even know if I know you anymore. I don't even know if I'm your child anymore. Please show me your way. Let me know you one more time, God. His life was hard. Circumstances were crushing. Moses said, I need to renew myself in you, God. It was not an accident that the first prayer in the tabernacle was a prayer for, was a prayer for not only revival, but not like revival like we think, but it was a prayer for renewal. If Moses could feel like he felt, we're not exempt from such discouragement. If Moses could go from the mountaintop to that deep valley, then none of us can make it through life without sometimes feeling the need to be sure of our place in God all over again. You see, there are times that we got to reestablish our confidence and our faith. Sometimes we got to just stop our hectic lifestyle and reassess our relationship with God. Moses has just taken a costly stand for God. The blood of his countryman had run red in the streets of the camp. Moses has stood against her sin, but his spirit is broken and his spirit is crushed. See, sometimes all you see is when a man of God comes and he preaches it strong and he preaches it straight and he preaches it hard. And he does it boldly, declaring the word of God. That's the side that you see. But you don't see him pulsing at night in the bed. Can I go to sleep? Wondering, did I offend him? Did I hurt him? Have I cut at somebody too hard? You don't see that. But Moses here, here he is. His spirit is broken and he's crushed. Sometimes it's after we take our stand. Up to the deepest and the lowest points of our lives. Sometimes the emotional cost of doing what is right can bring us down to the lowly place where we can't seem to feel God anymore. But you can never be ashamed if you're hungry or if you're empty. You simply just need a fresh touch from God. All of us have been at that place before. Even the great apostle Paul cried out, "Oh, that I might know him." We need to continue to reach until we touch him. Show me your way, God. Let me know you. God answered that prayer. You see, God's never offended by our prayer for renewal. It's never out of order for another trip to the altar. See, I probably said it here before because I've said it in every church I've been at, but we got such a bad misconception of what the altar was created for. It was never created for the sinner and even the backslider. But they do get the benefit from it. The altar was created for the saints. Lot always done well as long as he was with Abraham because Abraham knew how to build altars. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost so strong right now. But when Lot separated from Abraham, he didn't know how to build an altar and his family went on the downside. I feel in the Holy Ghost what I'm saying right now, that there's individuals in this place that you've done good as long as you was at home and as long before you got married because daddy and mama had an altar. You stayed at daddy and mama's altar, but when you separated away from them, you had never learned to build your own altar. And to this point, it's been a downhill slide. Lift your hands. I'm trying to feel after God right now. I don't want to get ahead of myself right now, but I'm telling you, there are some of you that have tried your best to disregard what I'm preaching right now in this service. You're looking for every excuse you can to occupy your mind. But I'm telling you right now, you better pay attention or God's fixing to burn your barley fields. He's going to do whatever it takes to get your attention. Thus saith the word of the Lord. Leave me alone, preacher. I feel that spirit right now. Leave me alone. Hallelujah. Occupy your mind with what you want. But I'm telling you right now, anything that you use as an excuse to keep you away from God, God will eliminate the excuses. And God will burn your barley field to get your attention. And I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. The Lord of our son. Help us to never lose our sensitivity at all. Help us to never hesitate to make another trip back to the altar in spite of what someone else will say. I don't fear, Brother Johnson, those that come to the altar every time I preach. I fear those that don't. You see, it's difficult to make it through a veil of tears. It's difficult, let me say this, it's difficult to backslide through a veil of tears. We need to come weeping back to the starting point. Touch God all over. Moses said, God, you called me. You told me to bring this people out of Egypt into Canaan. But you never told me who was going to help me or who would go with me. You just said I found grace in your eyes. You said that you knew my name, but I don't understand. If it's true, then please, Lord, let me feel your presence. The Lord answered him in the 14th verse and said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Surely God understood the mental and the emotional pressure that Moses was under, because Moses did not ask for rest. He just asked for the presence. But God added that, I will give thee rest. You rest. Moses understood that this was the answer to his greatest need. The presence of God was everything that he had to have. I wonder sometimes if we have forgotten, I'm not talking about the local church, I'm talking about the church as a whole. We forget that what we really need above anything else is the presence of God. We've got so many trappings in our churches. We've got more talent than we've ever had. We've got better worship than we ever had, better music, better choirs, more beautiful buildings. But I'm telling you, if His presence is not there, none of that is worth anything. Well, I thank God for this beautiful building, this beautiful gym, hallelujah, that was built with the leadership of good stewards that knew how to manage finances. You need to be thankful, the little things, because it ain't common in Pentecost. Well, I'm thankful for all these things that we have. If we got to go back, hallelujah, to the little metal building that I used to preach at, we're way out of town. If we got to go back to that, that's all we need for apostolic Pentecostal revival. This world is sick, hallelujah, of hypocrisy. They're hungry for reality. Hallelujah, be seated. Moses understood his need to the point where he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not hence. For wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. Moses said, God, that's fine. But if you don't go, then we don't go. If you're not going to take us there, just let us stay right here in the wilderness. But Moses wasn't even satisfied with that. Here was God saying, I'll go with you. Moses, don't worry about it. I'll be there. My presence, I'll be there with you. But Moses wanted more. And he pressed for more. He said, God, this is the only way for people to know if you're with us. The only way we'll be separated from the world is if you're there and you stay with us. Moses was saying, God, I've heard you say this before, but now I need to know. I believe you, God. But I need to know. He had the Word of God, but he still asked for more. Sometimes we come to church and we hear it with our ears and we perceive it with our minds, but we don't really know. Sometimes we go to church and we clap and we shout. We feel good about ourselves and we should. But we walk out the door and we got the same doubts that we walked in with. The same fears. The same questions in our mind that we walked in with when we first came to church. There is a danger when church becomes just an exercise in religion. and does not get down inside where the fear and the doubt and the questions are. Moses seemed to be saying, I've been on the mountain, God. I've walked through the sea. I've stood in Pharaoh's court. I've heard your word. I've heard your voice. And somehow I've walked this far. But I cannot go any further just going through the motions. Just getting blessed in the moment. I can't make it from mountaintop to mountaintop anymore. I got to get this thing beyond my head and get it down in my heart. I got to settle some things. Watch it roll. You know, God was still not offended. Even when Moses said, you said it, but I need more. I got your word, but I need more. God was not offended. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do the things also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. I know thee by name. Here it was again. Moses, I'm telling you, I'll go with you. I told you, I know you. I said, I have put my blessings on you. I said, you have found grace in my sight. I said, I've called you. I know you by name. But still, Moses wasn't satisfied. God had patiently answered his plea for assurance time and time again, but Moses hungered for more. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. The word, the way we would read it is, I beg you, God. I heard it. I've caught a glimpse of it. I've seen the results of it. But now I beg you, Lord, I need to see your glory. You see, Brother Johnson, I'm the beneficiary of generations of commitment. My great-grandfather on my mother's side, I talked about him last night, was a pioneer pastor of this gospel. I never knew him. He died a few months before I was born. But he was a powerful preacher. My godfather and my great uncle, Elder James Uzzell, to me is the greatest man that ever walked in shoe leather. I idolized that man. My dad was a very successful evangelist. And founded a church, and it's been pastoring now for almost 22 years. My dad's got four brothers that have all either pastored or evangelized, and some of them both. They saw things that I wonder, Brother Johnson, if our generation will ever see. Or could have even recognized. Let me put it that way. I've seen the results of prayer. I've seen the results of commitment. I've seen the results of total dedication from these men. But sooner or later, my generation must look beyond what we have received from those who have blazed the trail before us. We're going to have to lift our eyes and say, God, I've got to see your glory. I've seen what you can do. I'm the beneficiary of your presence. But I've got to see it for myself. I've seen your power. I've seen your miracles and your mercy. But now I want to see you. That's the hunger that needs to be in our air. Lord, show me your glory. Let your presence reign in our services. We must not be just another church. We need the glory of God in our midst. We need the glory in the gospel. We need His glory in healing, in changing lives. We have to see the glory of God. God responded to Moses. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I'll do it, Moses. I don't know what Moses had in mind when he said, show me your glory. Did he want to see God's face? Did he want to see the image of God? And I'm not sure. We don't know. But God said, if you want to see my glory, what you're going to see is my goodness. His mercy and His love are the expression of his glory. You see, well, I'm thankful for all of this, and I don't, please don't take me wrong when I say this. God is not in the building business. He's not in the religion. He's in the people. I said he's in the people. He's hungry to show his glory by his goodness to people. This building is for us. This building is for us. God can have church out in the pasture somewhere, but he allows us to have this building for us. But what we need is his glory. The Bible said that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth that he might show himself strong. God said, I will show you my goodness and I will proclaim my name. He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. But he said, you can't handle what I'm capable of. You can't see my face. You can't comprehend all I can do. We just cannot see it all. He's far beyond our ability to assimilate. But he says, there is a place, and I can take you there. A place where you can see, church, his goodness, and hear his name proclaimed. I come to tell a hurting saint of God. I come to tell a discouraged saint of God. I come to tell a backslider. I come to tell a sinner. I come to tell a lukewarm saint of God. There is a place where you can see his goodness. There is a place that you can start all over again. God said, Moses, that place is by me. It's in my presence. You're going to find it. You're not going to find it in the world. But you'll find it when you step into God's presence. There's an individual sitting on the seat tonight. You've been searching for it and searching for it. And before church even started tonight, you was feeling this presence of the Holy Ghost. Before church, I could have called an altar call in the middle of this worship service tonight, and some of you would have been in the altar. But I didn't feel like it was time yet. Hallelujah. There is a place, I'm speaking to you of, that God can take us, where questions are answered, and fears are finally settled. There is a place where needs are really met. And where his goodness and name is evident. And it's in his presence. This is why we should never be contented with a wasted service. To us, it should never be a Wednesday night or another Sunday. Because when we are in his presence, there is fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore. His name is there. His goodness is there. And his glory is there. The Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Where is this place? It's in a rock. It's solid, strong, it's unchanging, it's unmoved by the shifting sands of our time. This church here, this local church, is built on that rock. Its doctrines are not going to be altered. We're on that rock, and in the cleft of that rock, we will see God. You don't have to leave the church. It's in this solid, strong, unmovable church where God has placed his name that you will find his glory. His glory is his presence, and it's found in the rock. Shall come to pass when my glory pass by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. And will cover thee with my hand while I pass over. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shall not be seen. How do I get there, Brother Mills? How do I get to that place that I can hit reset and start all over again? Moses tonight, go out and cut you a slate of stones. Christ provided the first stones. But you took them for granted. But I want you to go because you broke them in your despair, anger, and hurt. This time, I'm not going to give you the tablets. You bring the tablets. I think God was saying, let's hit reset and let's start all over again right here. Let's go back to the very beginning of how we all begin to work with this. You see, if you want to see His glory, go back to the beginning. Walk in the footsteps that you have already made in your life. You bring the tables of stone, and God will write on them all over again. Find your way back to where you were when you first felt His presence and you heard His voice. And the same tender heart, fresh and newly clean, and God will write His law there again. But God said, come alone. Don't bring Joshua or anybody else. Come alone. It's just going to be me and you. Come alone to the same place that we met before and bring the tables. I'll show you my glory. It's not a new place. I said it's not a new place. It's the same place, just a new heart. Get to play, brother. There is a place. There in this place that they had met before, the Lord descended one more time in the cloud, and He stood with Moses there and began to proclaim the name of the Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sins. I could see Moses as he begins to make haste and bow his head towards the earth and worship God. He had what he wanted. He saw as the hinder parts of God and the train of God's presence as it passed by. The voice of the Lord had given a self-description of His own mercy, goodness, and truth. Moses' heart was lifted, and he worshiped again like he had once worshiped before. Feeling again like he once felt. Moses asked God three times, show me your glory. God gave him what he asked for. But God always goes a little further. Moses had not asked for it, but God said, behold, I will make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. All the people among them, among which thou art, shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. For us to hunger, church, until we see His glory, is the doorway to revival. What we have only imagined in the past is possible. God wants to show us His glory. He wants to do it to this generation. God's hungry to reveal Himself to this people. We can't go on in our discouragement pretending like everything is okay and like everything is all right. God sees right through your front. God sees right through your front. You might not shed a tear here, but God has seen the tears in the past few nights that you shed when nobody else was around. I'm not just speaking words off my notes. I'm prophetically speaking to the Holy Ghost right now. If you'll pick up the shattered, if you try to pick up the shattered remnants of the table of stone, and you try to put them back together and convince yourself that you've succeeded, that that'll be good enough, I can still read most of it, then you're going to fail. If you allow what happened in the camp to keep you off of the mountain. You will never see the glory of God. But we can do better. We can start all over again. And we can see His glory. Let's stand. I want to open these altars up right now. There's different people that I'm preaching to, more than one individual in this place. But you can start all over again. For the meals, there's so much spilt milk. There's so much that needs, can't be undone. No. But God's going to give you a chance. You see, I remember a message that I'll never forget that my dad preached when I was a child. Brother Johnson, that message, Dad, he brought out an old chalkboard. And he put a lot of sins, wrote different sins and everything, you know, things that would come to our mind on that chalkboard. And then Daddy had a big old oversized chalkboard eraser. And Dad preached, the title of his message is, God's Got a Big Old Eraser. And I feel the Holy Ghost. I just feel like telling somebody, God's got a big old eraser. But you got to be willing to drop the chalk and quit writing on your chalkboard and let God wipe it away. You can start all over. Young person, I know you've made mistakes in the past, but you can start all over again. You can hit reset one more time. But it's up to you. Are you going to drop the piece of chalk and come to the altar? Sis, all you got to do is put the chalk down. And God's ready to start erasing. He's just waiting on you. Just lift your hands. In the name of Jesus, I loose you in the Holy Ghost right now. I set you free. No more chains of slavery. Go ahead, sis. I want you to really reach out. You've been wanting it all. The whole service is here. Reading this, I want you to begin to pray. I want a couple ministers to come over here and begin to pray. Hallelujah with her. Hallelujah. I want her to get totally what she wants. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. I don't want this to stop. I don't want this to stop. But I'm not through yet. Hallelujah. I want to read this scripture. Play softly. I want somebody that's still sitting in the pew to hear this message, what I got to say. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou wast not here, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I want you to get this verse. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thou God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land the Lord swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Sing it, brother. Somebody needs to get up off of that pew and come to this altar.
It doesn't matter who you are.
Come on.
It doesn't matter.
There you go, pray with me.